Bless you, brother.
I'm glad for the smart water today, ever who brought it. I went in the other day and I had a bottle of this on my desk. And just sitting on my desk, you'd be surprised how smart I became. I hope you enjoyed yourself yesterday as we had our family fish fry and chicken fry and hot dogs and whatever else that was going on there. Had a great time. Title of the lesson or the message today, Don't Be Ignorant. And I'll show you where that comes from in just a little bit. Prophecy. I enjoy prophecy. I enjoy teaching prophecy. I enjoy preaching and reading about prophecy. And our Wednesday night is enjoying a lesson on prophecy. And so if you want to come to a good Wednesday night group, come to our group over there. We're doing prophecy and having a great time with it. Couple of scriptures I'd like to just mention this morning that came to my mind early this morning. If you remember, Jesus comes to his disciples and he says unto them, I'm going away. And they're saying, you can't go away. You've only been with us 3 years and we've left our businesses and we're going to follow you. But Jesus said unto them in John chapter number 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you so. And I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, what's the rest of it?
I will come again.
And that is a fulfillment of Acts chapter number 1, verse number 11, where Jesus was going up into the heavens, and it says, the angel said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why you stand gazing up into the heavens? For this same Jesus that you see going away is going to come again. So when you read in Scripture, always remember these four things. Who is speaking, when they are speaking, to whom they are speaking, and what they are speaking about. There are three facts in history, and that is Christ has been here, he's now in heaven, and he's coming again. And the Bible can be divided somewhat like this. The Old Testament tells us that he is coming. The Gospels in the New Testament tells us that he is here, that he has suffered and died on the cross of Calvary for sins. And then the book of Acts tells us that he's gone away. The church epistles tells us how we are to live while he has gone away. And then the book of Revelation tells us that he's coming again. Amen? This thing is put together. Look with me into the book of Titus, chapter number 2, and I'll begin reading there, verse number 11. And I'm going to read a lot of scripture today and just let the scriptures preach to you what the Word of God says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That has reference to all classes of people. Why has this come? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. And that word looking there simply means stretching your neck. It's kind of like a marathon runner or a person that's riding a horse in a horse race. And it simply means they're stretching your neck for that blessed hope, for that goal line. And that blessed word, the word blessed there is the same word that is used in the book of Psalms, chapter number 1, which means a happy hope. So this is saying one should be stretching their neck looking for the happy hope which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then it says, and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Then look into the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse number 13. And here is where my text comes from today. But I would not have you to be ignorant or maybe misinformed, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or have died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so even also which so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder them or go before them which have died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Amen. May God add his blessings to the reading of the Word of God. Paul wrote First and Second Thessalonians from the city of Corinth. He spent 3 weeks in the house of Jason. He wrote 8 chapters to the church at Thessalonica to rebuke the error that was going on there in that day. He wrote 3 chapters in 2 Thessalonians about the day of the Lord, which deals with the tribulation period. And there were people in the church at Thessalonica that was teaching that the rapture of the church, or the catching away of the church, had already taken place. And Paul was there to correct them concerning this matter. Well, this group heard about what Paul was teaching, and so they said, well, if you've not missed the rapture of the church, then you're living in the great tribulation period. So we realize here, don't be ignorant concerning them who are asleep or who have died. Don't be sorrowful as those who have no hope. Now, verse number 14 of this past chapter tells us, it gives us the qualifications to go to heaven. It says, if you believe, do you believe? If you believe, notice what it says there. If you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which have died or sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now, I don't know what form the spirit is going to have and the soul is going to have in that day, but I do know this, whatever form it is, it's getting ready for a new body, and I'm ready for one even now, amen? Some of you are ready for one also at this moment of time. So the soul and the spirit of all believers who have died during this age of grace are waiting for new bodies, desire to be clothed upon, which is the house from heaven. I remember years ago when I was living over in Habersham County, Mary and I purchased a home, And that home needed remodeling. And so this guy had built this house, and he just kind of went to a sawmill, cut him out a pattern, and put it all together. And during World War II, it was built. And the only thing that they had in that day to put that thing together was 16 penny nails. Now, you guys who know something about construction know what that means when they put those 16 penny nails in there. So Mary was working at the 4 to 12 shift, and she comes in that night, and I'm in the living room with a chainsaw at midnight, got that thing fired up, and I'm going to town. This house needs reconstructing, and so this house also needs reconstruction, and God's going to do that one of these days. So I think the resurrection is only for those who have died in this grace age. The Old Testament believers will be resurrected, I believe, at the beginning of the kingdom age. And if you want to study more about that, you read the book of Daniel, chapter number 12. In verse number 16, it says, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There are three shouts in the Bible. Now, don't shout yet. The first shout was in John chapter number 11. Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, and he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus, come forth, and he did. And had Jesus not said, "Lazarus," the whole graveyard would have got up. Amen? But he simply said, "Lazarus, come forth," and he came up. And so on that morning, only one person got up. He shouted again in John chapter number 19. He was on the cross of Calvary, and he shouted, "It is finished." And many were in the grave, came forth, and went into the city, and were witnesses unto those that were in the city. The third time he shouts, here in verse number 16, "The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout." He's going to shout in that day, and millions are going to get up out of the grave. Hallelujah for that day. Wouldn't it be great if it happened today? Wouldn't it be good to be able to be, maybe the church service is over and we walk out into the parking lot and we look over into the cemetery over there, and all of a sudden these people begin to come up out of the grave? You tell me that wouldn't excite you. You'd be a Baptist shouting all over the parking lot. Yes. "Then we which are alive," boy, it'd be great if he come today. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord." Now notice, to meet the Lord, not on the earth, but where? In the air. "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now I realize the word rapture is not in the scripture. We'd already studied that on Wednesday night but it's not found in the Bible in that form. But when you get to that word, caught up, that's in verse number 17. The Bible scholars, ever who they are, tell me that this is a word, a Latin word that comes from the word raptuor, which is, we get our English word rapture from. So, "For those who are alive and remain shall be caught up," or shall be raptured up together with them, the ones who have died previously in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, "and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, he's not coming to the earth at the rapture, but when he does come in the revelation, he will come to the Mount of Olives according to the scriptures. And so we realize here in the Word of God that Jesus is coming. And as you have already sung the song here, he could come today. He's coming soon. So at the rapture, as he comes for the church, then some 7 years later, he's going to come into Revelation to rule over his kingdom. And he says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now turn with me, if you will, to the 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And look there at verse number 51. This is a great resurrection chapter. And notice what he says. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all die. Wouldn't that be great? Now I realize for you young people, you say, I'm not ready to die. I've got college to finish. I've got a boyfriend or I've got a girlfriend. I want to date them and we're going to get married and we're going to buy us a house and we're going to move into that house and have our families there. And I realize that you're not ready for that. But for us who are getting older, we're ready. Amen. Sometimes I get up out of my chair and I go, And my wife wants to know what's going on. I'm fulfilling Scripture. For in this body, it says, we groan. We groan. And so, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. And then he says back there in verse number 17 of chapter number 15 of 1 Corinthians, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, you're yet in your sins. And then on down in verse number 19, it says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Everything about Christianity is a resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there is no resurrection, you're still in your sins. And you're of all people most miserable. But he says here, look again. Behold, I show, in verse number 51, behold, I show you a mystery. Who's keeping it a secret? Who's keeping it a secret? God has. He never revealed that to the Old Testament people because they didn't have to know it. They're not part of the church. They're part of the covenant. And so God has turned this whole new group of people, the Gentiles, you and I, and he now is revealing unto us the secret. That's the reason he said back there, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning these things. Some people have died. In other words, if I was to die today and they put me in a hope chest, and a lot of people believe that you sleep in the grave and your soul goes and it sleeps in the grave with you. As I heard one fella say, now if you put me in the grave today and my soul's in there for just one day, I could probably make it. But suppose Jesus doesn't come for 50 or 100 years. I don't want my soul down in that hope chest. Somehow or another, when you take your last breath here, that soul slips out of the body and goes into the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the mystery is, we shall not all die. Now, nowhere in Scripture except Enoch and Elijah has everyone been transformed from this life to glory. But one of these days, at the trumpet sound and the shout, millions are going to get up. Will you be one of those? If you go by the way of the grave, are you going to be one of those that's going to get up in that day? That's our blessed hope. And the blessed hope is the appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming to get His bride. He's coming to get His bride. You fellas here that's been married as long as I have, my wife don't know this, but I'm fixing to inform her. My grandfather gave me a watch when he passed away. It's one of those Walton pocket watches. 17 jewel. And it's not running now, but anyhow, I'm looking for it. And she says, well, it could be here, it could be there. And I kind of go back to a place where I thought it might be. And there is her love letters to me. Thank you, honey. I appreciate those. And I just, I got one out. And it carried me back, Pastor, to 60-something years. I mean, we got married when we was 10. And she's telling me how much she loved me and how much she cared. She's probably got my letters to her. I don't know. Probably. Behold, I show you a mystery. But we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now that to me is plain. That's as plain as looking outside knowing it's daylight. We shall be changed. Now, the reason we're going to be changed is because flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. When God said over there to his disciples, I can put a camel through the eye of a needle. And then he went on to say in just a little bit that nothing is impossible with God. So every believer from whatever part of the world they may be in, whether they've been buried at sea or whether they have been burned up in ashes or wherever they're at, one of these days, God's going to bring that together. And you say, I don't see how he knew that. Well, he done it in the beginning, didn't he? He reached down and got a ball of virgin soil. And he created a man. And he breathed into his nostrils a breath of life and he became a living soul. Now, if he done that in the beginning, if I go by the way of the grave and they bury me and they put me in a hope chest, what's going to happen to the body? You're going to go back to dust, right? From dust you are, dust you shall return. So one of these days, I get excited about this. One of these days, and I believe everybody's got an angel. I do. Maybe some people's got more than one, I don't know. But everybody's got an angel. And one of these days, the archangel's going to tell your angel to come down and get you out of that hope chest, and he's going to give you a glorified body. Miss Sally, that's where you're going to get that sexy body that you're wanting. In our class the other night, and she didn't get a sexy body. I'm wanting a bodybuilder. I want big muscles and a big, what we'll need them for, I really don't know. So we... you fathers and mothers, it's got young ones, little ones now. And I noticed some yesterday there, and I noticed sometimes they would kind of get upset, And when we were over at Mountain Fellowship this year, we had our great-grandchildren there. And there was the mothers that were there. And sometimes those little babies, they'd get upset over something. I don't know where they needed their diaper changed or bottle or they just upset. And Mama would take them and check them out, make sure everything's all right. And if they've been fed and their diaper's been changed and all like that, then that Mama would throw them up on her arm like that and they begin to pat them on the bottom. Why do y'all mamas do that? Pat them on the bottom. And after a while, they go to sleep. Now, here's the lesson. As we get older, sometimes we get upset. And sometimes God puts something in our body that we have to deal with. Whether it's cancer. Mary's been through cancer. I've been through a heart attack. Right now, I want to live. I have to go to the doctor pretty often to get a checkup and all like that. Right now, I'm wanting to live. But there's going to come a day when God is going to upset me so that I don't want to live. And so when I get to that place, He's just going to let me go to sleep. He's just going to let me go, just like that baby in that mama's arms. She's panting. But God tells me to comfort me with these words. So He puts me to sleep because I'm tired of living. But then one day He's going to say to my angel, it's time to go get him. And that angel's going to come out of heaven. Grave's going to burst open. We're going to all get up. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know where we're going to sing, rejoice, or whatever as we're going up. But can you imagine what this world is going to think when all of God's children are gathered home? I don't know what's happened to the world, but that bunch of crazy Christians, they're gone. And they're no longer bothering our world anymore. And I realize, after preaching for 52 years, maybe I've lost a little memory. But I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Every believer, a lot of sailors that were killed in the war on a ship, where'd they bury them? They buried them at sea. If they believed in God, well, these days, God's going to bring all that back together again. And we're going to go up to be with the Lord in the air. So we can't go to glory like this. So what's going to happen? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 52. In a moment, that's the smallest measure of time. You can't hardly even figure that. Blink your eye and split that down to less than one half of a second. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. At the last trump. Now, why did they use trumpets? They used trumpets to get people to move. So, God's going to blow the trumpet to get us to move. And we're going up together. Verse 52 again. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. In other words, we're going to get glorified bodies, and we shall be changed. This house needs reconstruction. I could use some knees now. I could use a right hip. I could use a new heart. The lungs in here is wearing out. I went through treatments a couple of years ago with this. Some mornings I have problems really getting a good breath, so I need reconstruction. I'm in bifocals, and who knows, may have to go to trifocals. Can't say, take that off her. I can see you out there. I can see you under good. But I can't see a thing here, so I got to put this on. So I could use a new set of eyes. I take these things out of my ears, and I can't hear you, and I can't hardly hear you when I got them in. I finally got my pastor not to talk to me walking away. If he walks away, I can't hear him. Listen, if you see people that's got hearing aids, look them in the face. Don't walk off. My wife hollered at me last night from the other room, and I'd already took my hearing aids out. I said, "Honey, don't you know I can't hear you?" I'm kind of like the fella that took his out, and he didn't want to hear his wife. I can turn mine off. Verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. So these bodies are going to have to be reconstructed to make fit for heaven. And this mortal, the mortal which can die, must put on immortality, so that it will never die. There are four differences in our body now and the body that we're going to receive in the resurrection. Our body is corruptible. Our bodies are corruptible. Our resurrected body is going to be incorruptible. Corruptible means you're going to die. You're going to decay. But our incorruptible body will never die. It'll never die. It's going to be planted back into the earth. I like to garden. John, you like to garden. I planted some turnip greens just the other day. Little bitty seed. You can't hardly see them. But I went out there and I plowed up the ground. I told somebody my garden digger wouldn't run. So I got an old mattock and I got out there and I dug up a place 5 foot wide and 50 feet long. I can tell you right now, the old body hurt after that. And I sowed the seed. 3 days later, they came up. And I'll get to go out there and pick those greens. Something better. I planted some squash. Those squash already come up. They've already bloomed. They got little squash hanging on them. So you plant a seed to get something better. You see what I'm saying? You plant a flower seed. And what are you going to get out of that? You're going to get a beautiful flower. You're going to get something out of that. It's going to be wonderful to see that. And so, one of these days, if the Lord doesn't come, my family's going to plant a seed. They're going to come by and bid farewell to dad or granddad or great-granddad, whatever it is, in that day. They'll come by and they'll bid their farewell. They put me in a hope chest and they take me down to the Ivy Lock Baptist Church because I preached 25 and a half years down there and they give me 8 grave plots. So they can spread me and Mary out. You plant a seed to get something better. They'll plant me as a seed one day, but on resurrection morning, I'll get something better. I'll get something better. I'll get a glorified body. Our earthly body is buried in weakness, but our resurrection body will be raised in power. Our earthly body is buried in natural body, but the resurrection body will be raised a spiritual body. And the spiritual body will retain the same qualities of knowing one another in heaven as we're known here. You say, where do you get that from? 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, verse number 12, where it says, I shall know even as also I am known. Not only will I be known, but I'll get to meet other people. Now, I have a problem down here. And I've got many of your names down in my little book. And sometimes I have to go through that book about every week. Yesterday, as we sat at the pavilion out there, and my wife says, who's that? And I says, I know their name. Let me get my book out. I know Arskoski over here, I believe is the way you say it. He said, I almost got it right. Did I say it right? What did I say?
I don't know. I can't say it either.
To be united with our loved ones. Some of you have got loved ones that's already outrun you in the race. But we'll see them again. Imagine planting a seed and never seeing that seed again. And some of you may be here today and you may be in a situation that you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Do you realize that this could happen right now? Do you realize if you're not saved and this was to happen right now, you'd be left behind? Do you realize if there's a child sitting on the pew with you and that child's never come to the age of accountability, God's going to take that child to heaven, but He's going to leave you? And then there's going to be the experience of seeing our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who suffered and died for me on the cross of Calvary. Just wondering what my first thoughts is going to be and my first words to Him will be. I think, personally right now, I think right now, I'd like to bow up on my knees in front of Him and simply say, thank you for saving a wretch like me. Pray with me. Father, thank you for our time this morning, from the encouragement that I get from the Word of God concerning the fact that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. How the Word of God brings joy to my heart. Help us not to be ignorant or unprepared if that moment was to take place before we walk out the door. But help us to be prepared when this moment comes, that we'll be able to go into the presence of our Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Hey guys, Pastor Scotty Gerard here, and I just wanted to say thank you for joining us today. We really hope that this has been a resource that's helped you grow in your purpose for God, but also grow in His glory. We also want to extend an invitation to you to join us here in person at Harmony Grove. We are located at 1008 Town Creek School Road in Blairsville, Georgia. We would love for you to come be a part of our service, to be a part of our small groups. If you have children, we have children's classes on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning, and all this information can be found on our website. We'd also like to continue help you in your growth with Christ. If you have a question, maybe a prayer request, or just need to talk to somebody, you can contact us in the emails below in the description, or you can also contact us through our app and through our website, which are also found in the description below. Again, we hope this has been a blessing to you, because we know that you joining us today has been a great blessing to us. Thank you so much. God bless.